Doing a little series right now on end time events. Second service today, we'll conclude our message series on Israel. Israel's future. We'll be looking at prophecy and what's going to happen with the nation of Israel. And we'll even be talking about the Battle of Armageddon and things like that in the second service today. This service, we're in a longer series. Going to probably take 8 more weeks or so and talk about end time events. These are messages that I've written over the last 5-6 years with the full graphics and everything. We've compiled several series into some of the ones that I think that'll be good for us in this early service. So let's try it. Here we go. Start a series of messages today. It might take us 2 weeks to get through it, but that's okay. Amen? Got some good clear breaks we can make. Looking at a parable of the fig tree. You'll see it in your New Testament. We've been looking at the words of Jesus, okay? What does he say? It's not what some kook says on television. I ain't concerned about all that, okay? Jesus Christ is the one that said he's coming again, okay? See, that's a problem you and I have to deal with. Y'all listening or not? Say, what he says, I need to make sure I'm listening to. Okay, because he ain't kooky. Got it? He's the Son of the living God. He knows what's going on. And so we've been looking at some of his words, and let's look at this parable. He taught a parable of a fig tree. What's that all about? Just some information. One out of every 30 Bible verses mentions, this is in the New Testament, one out of every 30 Bible verses mentions the return of Jesus Christ and the end of the world. Well, that ain't in the Bible. One out of 30 verses. And I might be wrong. That might be in the whole Bible because there's tons of that stuff through the Old Testament as well. So anyway, it's all over the Bible. Keep looking. In the 216 chapters in the New Testament, there are more than 300 references to the second coming of Jesus Christ. That's a lot of references in 216 chapters. What does that mean? I better listen. I better look up. I better know that when people talk about Jesus coming again, that they're not kooky, all of them. Amen? Especially if they're giving me the words of Christ. Those who knew Jesus while he was on earth regularly talked about his return in their sermons and in their letters. Those disciples, those apostles, those early writers of the New Testament, they talked about the coming of Christ. They were with him and they questioned him. And so in the writings that we have from God in our Bible, there's things about the second coming of Christ and Armageddon and the end of the world, stuff like that. Because they walked with him, talked with him. This isn't something made up by a bunch of wild-eyed prophetical freaks. Amen? Now, there is a lot of stuff made up by wild-eyed prophetical freaks. I agree with you. Amen? But let's see what he says. When the disciples asked Jesus, we saw this in our last couple of messages, when they asked Jesus about his return and the end of the world, he gave them, say it with me, very specific details. Matter of fact, they're showing in the temple, and Jesus said, this thing's going to be torn down. It's going to be destroyed. Not one stone left upon another. Okay, and so in about AD 30, Jesus was crucified, rose from the dead. He's seated at the right hand of God the Father. And about 40 years later, under the Romans, a guy named Titus came and actually destroyed the city of Jerusalem. And it's interesting. Read your history. Not just the Bible. Read history. They actually carried away the stones of that temple that he said would be destroyed. So he gave very specific details. And then they said, well, when are you coming back, Jesus? And they said, what is the signs of your coming and the end of the world? So he gave some very specific signs of his coming. Are y'all listening so far? Y'all awake? Amen? So we talked about that in last week's message, last 2 weeks actually. Let's look at these fig tree leaves, okay? Because they have all this has to do with this parable of the fig tree, okay? Look at how these leaves are getting stuff on them. We saw it last week. Signs of the last days, there'll be deception. There'll be counterfeit Christ. There'll be dissension. There'll be wars and rumors of wars. There'll be devastation. This is all Jesus speaking, by the way. You can check it out, Matthew 24. There'll be famines, disease. There'll be pestilences, disasters, earthquakes all over the world, death, persecution of believers, non-believers, just persecution all over across the planet. Disloyalty, offending. Have you ever seen an age in when we live that people are so offensive, hating, betraying, killing? Say, crazy, ain't it? Jesus said it would be like this in the last days. Delusion means there's going to be false religions. And not only delusions, we're going to be tolerant of false religions. We're going to go, well, they're good people, and you know what? I know Jesus died on the cross, and he rose from the dead, but you know what? Surely if God's a God of love, and those people are so good in that false religion, he'll let them into heaven. See, we're so tolerant. God's not tolerant at all. He says, every knee shall bow, every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. Jesus said, I'm the way, the truth, the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. He that has a son has life, the Bible says. He that has not the Son of God has not life. Y'all getting it or not? So in the last days, there's going to be false religions, and we're going to be tolerant. And we're going to have a message on the church and what the church is like in the last days. We're going to have a message in this early service just on that. Defection, lawless, cold-hearted. Amen? Boy, this mic's driving me crazy. I don't know if we'll ever get it fixed. Declaration is sort of exciting. What's one of the last signs that Jesus talks about? The gospel is going to be preached in all the world. Do you think the gospel in your age that you live in right now is being preached in all the world? Just yes or no? Yeah, I would say so too. Some may be not saying so, but it is. It's preached in all the world. The gospel is everywhere. I'm not saying everybody has a preacher, everybody has a radio, everybody has a TV. But I tell you what, the gospel has saturated our globe. It's everywhere. Amen? Oh, and by the way, Roger just pointed, the internet. And now there's all kinds of technology. You don't have to have a hard line coming into your home to get the internet. You can just use some little funky thing that hooks to the side of your computer, and you can pick it up on satellite no matter where you are. It used to be if you lived out in the sticks, you couldn't get good internet. Now you can get it. And it happened in whose life? Somebody guess. Your lifetime. End time events. Okay? Now, those are the signs we talked about last week. Now let's compare those signs to the book of Revelation. Let's go to the book of Revelation, and let's compare those signs that Jesus talked about with that book, the last book in your Bible, the book of Revelation, and let's see if what Jesus says jives with the book of Revelation, which is the unveiling, the revealing. That's what the word revelation means, of end time event. Let's see if Jesus knew what he was talking about. Let's see if what he says here in Matthew 24 is consistent with what he says and what the Word of God teaches us in Revelation. So let's just see some ammo. Y'all still awake? Amen? Help me here now. Revelation 1. The book of Revelation. The revelation or the unveiling or revealing of end things. That's what that word means. Of Jesus Christ, which God gave unto him to show us unto his servants things which must shortly come to pass. And he sent and signified it by his angel unto his servant John, who bare record of the word of God and of the testimony of Jesus Christ and of the things that he saw. So the book of Revelation, very difficult at times to understand. This is a man who is writing of things that he heard and things that he saw. And it's a book called The Unveiling or Revealing of End Time Things. Verse 5, and from Jesus Christ, this book is from him, who is the faithful witness. He is the first begotten of the dead. He's the prince of the kings of the earth. Unto him that loved us, who washed us from our sins in his own what? Blood. He's made us kings and priests unto God and his Father. To him be glory, say it with me, and dominion forever and ever. Amen. Behold, he cometh with clouds, and every eye shall see him, and they also which pierced him, and all kindreds of the earth shall wail because of him, even so, amen. John writing, I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day. I heard behind me a great voice as of a trumpet. And we're going to see what John heard, learning a parable of the fig tree. Keep looking. Let's see if what John saw jives with those signs that we studied last week and we just saw on all those leaves. And I saw on the right hand of him that sat on the throne, John seeing, a book written, and on the back side it was sealed with seven seals. And I saw a strong angel proclaiming with a loud voice, who is worthy to open the book and to loose the seals thereof? And no man in heaven, nor in earth, nor under the earth, was able to open the book and look in the book. And John said, what's in that book? I want to see what's in it. But nobody can open it. And I wept much. What? Because no man was found worthy to open and read the book. What's this book we're talking about? The seven seals. I know this can sound confusing. It's really not, though. We're going to see how it just is so consistent. What's inside of that book of end time events? What's going to happen in the end? This book, does it jive with what Jesus said in Matthew 24? We're about to see. And one of the elders said unto me, "Weep not. Behold, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the root of who? David hath prevailed." What's Israel mean? Prevailing what? Prince. "To open the book and to loose the seals thereof." We've got one that can open the book. His name is Jesus. Amen? And so this book is opened, and we see what's called the four horsemen of the apocalypse. Can you say that with me? The four horsemen of the apocalypse. You might think, where'd that come from? Some crazy man made that up. No, it's right in your Bible. Does what we're about to read jive with what Jesus said in Matthew 24? Clark, you're crazy. These signs you're making up. I didn't make them up. I just read you the scriptures. That's basically what I did in Matthew 24. And I just, Roger got real fancy and put them on leaves for you. That's all we did. Amen? Let's see if this jives. "And I saw when the Lamb," that's Jesus, "opened one of the seals, and I heard as it were the noise of thunder. One of the four beasts said, 'Come and see.'" And here we go. The first seal is opened. Does it jive with the first thing that Jesus said? "And I saw, and behold," say it with me, "a" what? "White horse. And he that sat upon him had a bow, and a crown was given unto him, and he went forth conquering and to conquer." We have a whole series on the four horsemen of the apocalypse if you'd like to get it. We got into great detail on this. This is just a thumbnail sketch. But the first thing that is said in the book of Revelation out of this opening of the seven seals, the four horsemen of the apocalypse, the first one is, somebody tell me, who? Deception. What did Jesus say in Matthew 24? First one, deception. In the last days, there's going to be deception. This is actually talking about the Antichrist, a false Messiah. All guys on white horses aren't good guys. Satan is always a counterfeiter. Did we learn that already? Yes or no? We did. He ain't going to come in, "Look at me, I'm all big." No. Satan's never like that. "Look at me, I'm conquering. I don't even have a gun. I've got a bow. I go forth conquering and to conquer." That idea of that conquering and to conquer is that in the last days there's going to be deception, all right. But when the Antichrist comes, he's going to conquer with words, with diplomacy. He's going to be heralded. He's going to be loved. He's going to be looked at as somebody who can fix the world's problems, especially the problems in Israel and the Middle East. Is that like the world I'm living in right now? Or somebody slap me? Of course it is. So that's number one. Keep looking. So the first one sounds just like what Jesus said already, correct? Yes, I'm correct. Revelation 6, 3 and 4. "And when it opened the second seal, I heard the second beast say, 'Come and see.' And there went out another horse," second horseman, "and power was given unto him that sat thereon to take peace from the earth." So we make peace. There will be peace, and then peace is taken away, that they should kill one another, and it was given unto him a great sword. Second one, what did Jesus say in Matthew 24 would be the second one, that leaf on that fig tree? Dissension. He said there will be wars and rumors of wars. What am I trying to say this morning? I'm just trying to say your Bible's consistent. What Jesus said jives with Revelation. Can you say that with me? What Jesus said jives with Revelation. You might not use the word jive. Let's try it again. What Jesus said jives with Revelation. If anything, I'd like you just to be able to just have confidence in your Bible. Confidence. Why do I spend time on end time events? 1 John 3:3, 3:2 and 3. "Beloved, now we are the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be. But we know that when he shall come again, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is." Verse 3, "Every man that has this hope," the hope of Jesus returning, "purifies himself even as he is pure." As we preach like this and talk like this, it should get you to think about the world in which you live and the way you are living. You listening or not? If you think you got forever, I don't need to be saved. You ain't got forever. Jesus could come at any moment, or you could die at any moment. You ought to put your faith in Christ and say no to your stinking pride. Amen? I loved it this morning. Had two men, and I love these men, man, I'm telling you. Had two men come up to me and tell me, Pastor Clark, my life's been changed. I'm saved. I now am a believer in Christ. One brother told me this morning, since the 3.5 years he's come here, he used to jog by the place on Sunday morning. He used to jog out here. He jogged. They're having church, crazy people. I don't know if he thought that, but anyway. One Sunday, he just came on in. Amen? Since then, giving his life to the Lord, reading the Bible, and now he's serving Jesus Christ, and he's grateful to be serving. I'm telling you what, friend, these things, the days in which we live, should be a change for your life. Are you listening? That's what we're trying to do, encourage you. So there's going to be war and rumors of wars. We've already talked about it. Of course that's happening. Am I saying Jesus is coming today? No. Why? Because no man knows. No angel knows. Not even the Son of Man knows. But should we look at our world we live in today and be ready for Jesus to come? Yes, we should, friend. Whether you think I'm kooky or not, I could care less. Because if you're saying I'm kooky, all I'm doing is sharing the Word of God with you, then you're saying Jesus is kooky. You're the one that's going to have to smoke that stuff, not me. This isn't kooky. I got better understanding as I grow older and I read more and study more. But it just seems clearer than a whistle. Verse 5, was Jesus saying what Revelation's saying? And when he'd opened the third seal, I heard the third beast say, come and see, and behold, and lo, a black horse, and he that sat on him had a pair of balances in his hand. And I heard a voice in the midst of the four beasts say, a measure of wheat for a penny, 3 measures of barley for a penny. See thou hurt not the oil and wine. As you study this, you'll see clearly this is talking about famine. What was the third thing Jesus mentioned in Matthew 24? Devastation. Famine. Now, just because you're eating good, and did you know that if you eat good, you have a roof over your head, and if you have an automobile, you're in like the top 95% of the world. Did you know that? Say. 95% of the world is you. What about those other 5%? Many people on this world today, they're starving to death. They have very little. Okay? So these are things that could be happening right now. We can't look at all the time in America and how good we're doing. Jesus isn't an American God. Y'all know that, right? Don't you say? I can't believe you said it. No, if we don't follow him, he's not going to stand for us. See, he don't wear red, white, and blue. He wears red. That's what the Bible says. He has a vesture, somebody tell me, that's dipped in what? Blood. His blood he shed. So we come under his banner. So if you're doing well, that doesn't mean other people aren't starving to death in our world today. That jives with what Jesus said in Matthew 20. But Revelation 6, 7, 8, and when he had opened the fourth seal, I heard the voice say to the fourth beast, come and see. What's the fourth one about? Keep looking. I saw a pale horse, and he that sat on him was what? Death. And hell followed with him, and all power was given to him over the fourth part of the earth to kill with the sword and hunger and with death and with the beast of the earth. This is what happens in the last days. So the fourth one, somebody guess what the fourth one Jesus said was in Matthew 24. Just take a wild guess. I just find this remarkable. I just find it remarkable. Jesus is talking to his disciples in Matthew 24, and now he's resurrected from the dead. John is now on an Isle of Patmos. He sees a vision. There's one with a book that nobody can open in heaven. Only one can open it. It's the Lamb of God, and he's the only one that can wash your sins away and take you to heaven too, my friend. Amen? See, they're looking for somebody to open that book. They ain't going to open it. You're looking for somebody that's going to save you. You can look till your eyes fall out. You're not going to find anybody who can wash your sins away except Jesus. Okay? He's the only one that can take and blot out the transgressions against you. Okay? That's good stuff, man. But it's remarkable to me that here's John. Had to be going half crazy. Seeing what he's seeing. And these seals open up. And it's the exact thing that Jesus was saying in a different way. Obviously, it's sort of like pictures. It's crazy. It's like a movie. But it jives with what Jesus said in Matthew 24. I don't know if that's helped you or not today. It helps me. Amen? Look at the fifth seal. And when he opened the fifth seal, I saw under the altar the souls of them that were slain for the word of God and for the testimony which they held. And they cried with a loud voice, saying, "How long, O Lord, holy and true, dost thou not judge and avenge our blood on them that dwell on the earth?" Persecuted. Jesus talked about persecution would take place for the word of God, for their testimony. In the last days, when Jesus comes again, there's going to be an intensifying of persecution on those that hold their faith in the word of God. And I don't want to be ugly, but I'm going to quit now with some ugly. Amen? Excuse me, if you are a Muslim, okay? In California, they'll let you in class learn about that. But if you're a Christian, oh no, separation of church and state. We can't hear anything like that. I'm gonna say something that's a little gross, it ticks me off. If you have HBO, I'm gonna just go and make you mad. You're pitiful. Did you hear me today? Say. There's a show now where a guy's peeing on a picture of Jesus on HBO, and a lady comes in and tears running down. If somebody peed on a picture of Jesus, and they fall down, oh, God, it's a sign, because they think Jesus is crying. You pee on a Muslim picture. I don't even like to say the word pee, but I'm saying it several times so you'll get it in your head this morning. You pee on a picture of a Mohammed, they'd have your head rolling, baby. They'd be marching on Washington. You can say anything you want to about Jesus today. You can put him down. You can just, we can't preach, can't talk. That's why, actually, and I'm trying not to complain too bad, because guess what? We are still, thank God, able to have church in a public place here. Let's praise the Lord this morning for that. Amen? Telling you. But anyway, somebody called me all upset about HBO. What we gonna do with HBO? I said, you a fool to have it to begin with. You're paying to bring Bill Maher in your house. Are you crazy? So I hope some of you, if you have it, what's it going to take for you to get rid of crap like that? Maybe peeing on Jesus will do it for you? Say, somebody tell me. Amen? Yes or no? That wasn't in a message, was it? Sorry. Amen. Listen. In the last days, we need to quit church fighting and fussing with one another. We need to love on one another. We need to let our light so shine before men that they can see our good works that glorify God and bring people to Jesus Christ. That's the way we should be living. Does that make sense? Okay. If churches want to fight, let them do it. We don't want that mess here at Fellowship Church. We want to love people, embrace people. Why, Clark? So we can share Jesus with them. Amen. Praise the Lord. Yes. Good stuff. Amen. So let's stand together. We're done. I got to hush. The verdict's in. And we'll find out what the parable of the fig tree is next week. Now those leaves have all that stuff on it, and that's going to give you a clue what it is. But listen, the verdict's in. Matthew 24 jives with Revelation 6. There is a consistency. So you can try till the cows come home to wish this stuff away. But you ought to be watchful. You ought to be hopeful. You know, I know it sounds like, oh, I don't want to go to heaven now. Listen, you ain't going to know what hit you, baby. If Jesus comes again, you're just going to be thinking of stepping on shore and finding it heaven, touching a hand, finding it God's, breathing new air, finding it celestial. Amen? Oh, I don't know about all that, brother. We're going to be under the banner of Jesus, and that Ohio State, that's going to be gone. Finally, I won't have to sit. No, I'm just kidding. Praise the Lord. Amen. Let's pray together. Father, we thank you for a good day. Father, thank you that through your word we can learn and we can understand. Thank you for helping me understand. Lord, I got so much more learning and understanding I need to do. But I pray that your word revealed today on the screen, that people could see it, that they would be encouraged, that you love them, that you have a plan for us, a future plan. And God, I just pray we'll live more and more and more like we ought to live for you, Jesus. Help me especially, Lord. I still mess up. I still fall down. I still struggle. And I know there are others in this room that do the same. Thank you that if we confess our sins, you're faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So, Father, I pray that we'll not use our shortcomings, our inadequacies as an excuse to not live for you. You've provided everything for us so that we can preach the gospel, proclaim Jesus, live for him. So I pray we'll do that, Father. Help us, we pray this week, to make a difference in our world in which we live. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Thank you. Let's praise the Lord this morning for all the good music, fellowship. Praise the Lord.